You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You can't help but come away to that. It's fantastic.
It's fucking horrific.
And it makes it even better by the fact that you think it's horrific, you see. If you'd have told me that was really good, I would have went, feels weird, I'm getting rid of that.
I love the last one.
The last one got done for copyright.
Yeah, it was.
But let I don't know, should we keep that or not, or should we work on something else? Listen, we go to the end of the season, then we review it over several points. How does that sound?
See, the chats are alive to Arsenal blowing their chances yet again. Yeah.
Well, there is four topics tonight. 12 minutes per topic, which will come to 48 minutes. But I am going to add...
To be fair, had they listened to this show, I told you what was going to happen.
Well, I'm going to add on a probably 12 minutes injury time to talk about Arsenal, if that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that's only fair. All right.
Can you just send them back to a pod from about 6 weeks ago and tell them Arsenal blow their beans and they won't make top four.
Okay. I think that was stated on here by yourself, Phil. And actually, I was very tempted to just throw a sickie there and watch Arsenal fan TV for the next hour, to be honest with you.
it'd be way more entertaining than this shit, to be honest. But it is winners and losers for this week. I'm Gav, we have Dicko, we have Phil, we have four topics. And the new thing is, of course, we started this last week and it was fantastic. 12 minutes per topic. When the topic is finished, you will hear a sound. It is Eamon Dunphy again, spoiler alert. And we will move on to the next one. So we'll leave Arsenal for the minute because I think we should do some sort of bonus material at the end of covering Arsenal.
Defo.
Let's start with Dicko. Now, Dicko's in the house. He's been allowed in the house this evening, so the internet should be a little bit
better. The shed is confined to history at the moment until I can find a suitable internet.
Okay, and he has taken his planner off the fridge in case any of you fuckers come in and work out what meetings he has during the week. I copped him doing that just beforehand, and he's dead wide and fair play to him. So, Dicko, we will let you go first, right? Let me get this. I'm at the pressing some mad buttons. Ah, here we go. Right. So, let me see. We have clock.
What are we going with?
Okay. I want you to go with your loser of the week.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The blue copites.
Whenever you're ready, the blue copites is.
Yeah, the blue copites. Oh, there's an actual timer. Jesus, listened. I just listened to this in podcast form last week. I didn't appreciate there was a clock going on the screen and all that.
Yeah, and you've wasted 11 seconds by telling us that, so you better hurry up.
Thanks for noticing the clock. Well done.
The blue copites, I mean, we touched on it a few weeks ago, the sort of start of the cop-like behavior was starting to creep in. Mm-hmm. You know, the flares we seen, you know, flares which even ended up on the pitch. We seen, you know, the bus welcome. They flipped their mentality completely from obviously all of the protests that actually accused to go to Chippy to actually channeling their energy in a positive way, just like us Liverpool fans have for years and years. And it's quite comical to see it. I mean, Sky jumped all over it yesterday. They put, you know, scenes, as we were getting closer to kickoff of, you know, the bus coming in and then them greeting. They're actually, to be fair, they can actually do a good job of it because we've now kind of, with that new stand, we've sealed off a certain element of the entrance, but they literally just walk in off the street. You know what I mean? At the side of one of the stands. So they can make a good old kerfuffle. But the reality is it's, you know, they're kind of almost, you know, for all that it done, they never got the result yesterday. It's all looking a little bit kind of pathetic at this stage, I think. It's comical as a Liverpool fan to see it. But that just fell flat on its face yesterday when you then take the context of the game and the fact that they could have wrapped it all up. They could have been safe yesterday. They could have avoided any drama midweek or any drama at the weekend against Arsenal. But I suppose all that it gives them is one more opportunity to go full on cop-ite for the Palace game now. Absolutely go for it. They may as well, they're almost getting to the stage where they may as well paint that blue crest red because it's getting absolutely ridiculous. So my losers absolutely are the blue copites.
I'm delighted you brought this up because the highlight of the bus welcome or the copy behaviour last week was them passing the dog around above people's head.
yeah.
We're passing an Alsatian around outside Goodison last week where they let off those suspiciously looking purple flares, in my opinion. And like, it is copy behaviour. And then, you know, all the plastic flags they're putting out just adds an extra element to it, which is great. Somebody sent me it was a screenshot today, and it was somebody basically said that, like, you know, Everton, the Everton fans have gone through the ringer this year, and what the amount of effort the Everton fans have put in, both emotionally and physically, to this season has been absolutely unreal. And I was going, fucking, I've only piped up for the last six games. You fucking sat there and you sat in your hands for the other 30 or so. But look, they're going on about that bus welcomes and everything. I just can't get over it. I want them to stay up now. I want them to stay up and I want them to explain themselves next season. Because if you do all this and they go down, they're not really in your field of vision. But if they stay up and you're just going, why are you welcoming buses? Can't be doing that. Sure, that's not allowed. And why are you doing this? And why are you doing that? And they're doing exactly what Liverpool fans do. And it's the exact stuff that Everton fans have given out for so long about with regards to Liverpool. So, yeah, I loved it.
I mean, there's a subtle difference. I mean, we do it because we sort of got onto it to kind of – it was less about willing the side on in some ways. It was more about celebrating the side that we seen forming before our eyes. You know, it was just an appreciation, really, whereas – this is an act, what Everton are doing, it's like an act of pure desperation. They think, they're sort of grasping at straws. They think, okay, what can we do next to try and just give us that extra kind of, you know, 1%, 2% or whatever. And this is what they've resorted to. And it's actually quite comical. And on this whole topic of, you know, Everton going down and whatnot, I'll be gutted if they stay up, to be honest with you. I would have loved to have seen them go down. You know, there's only so many opportunities in your lifetime, and I will be for many years annoyed that Norwich and Watford were in the league this season because they kind of gave Everton, you know, a helping hand in staying up, in my opinion. I would have loved to have seen them go down. I actually wouldn't have been that bothered if it would have resulted in them winning every single game in the Championship and going full on cop-like behaviour and celebrating, you know, a league title, albeit a Championship. That wouldn't have bothered me. Just to see them go down would have been enough for me.
It's Phil, the other thing, of course, is when Liverpool let off fireworks outside a opposition team's hotel going back. I can't remember which team he done it against.
Chelsea.
The Everton fans were like, call the busies, and you know, this is disgraceful and all this sort of stuff. And they've now decided that every game they're going to play, they're just going to pick a random hotel in town and head down and start letting off fireworks. What do you make of Everton being blue copites?
I honestly have no opinion. They're a shit team. I wish they were just fucked off. Honestly, like, they're irrelevant. We're going to be stuck with them for God knows how long. I was hoping to get relegated. Do you remember Pete was going on with some mad stuff? He wanted to stay in the league. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. Fuck off. Bin. They have an underwater stadium that they're never going to play in, right? They have the only positive about it is that if they stay up, we get to watch them absolutely self-combust with Frank Lampard and Duncan Ferguson as managers or co-managers or assistant managers or whatever they are, managers, people, whatever. Honestly, we've spoken way too much about Everton. They don't deserve to be spoken about. They're a glorified Norwich. Hopefully they go down. There's still a good chance to go down. Hopefully they lose on Thursday to Palace and then they lose at the weekend and great, Burnley stay up because Sean Dyche isn't there anymore. And then Sean Dyche can take over as manager.
I think it's more Leeds would stay up. I think it'd be more Leeds staying up than Burnley. But me and Dicko had a great talk earlier. Dicko said after Arsenal got beaten that Everton should appoint Arteta as their manager because he gets them. And I said that's a marvellous idea because he will bring the Arteta money back with him. And then Bill will be able to go out to the middle of the pitch and go, here it is. Not the way he's keep going on about the Arteta money. And he's just standing there with a big Morrison's bag full of cash with Arteta there like this with his thumbs up and all.
Do you think honestly now, when you step back and look at it and say, where are they ever going to be relevant again? Because they aren't. They've pumped more money into it than most of the teams in the top six for the last 4 years.
They're in serious financial trouble regardless of what happens this season.
And it's just, it's pointless. Look, honestly, Sean Dyche will be their next manager. You can see what's going to happen. You can see honestly what's going to happen. So it's like he's a model. They may as well have employed him on a contract from next October or something like that.
Do you think Lampard makes it to Christmas, assuming they stay up?
No, but Lampard was on an absolute earner. Remember when he signed him, we were talking about it way back about 8 weeks ago or 12 weeks ago or whatever, 11 weeks ago, whatever it was. And I said, this is the best thing ever. I had Lampard as the winner, one of the winners of the week, purely because he gets to go in there, have a few weeks, have a party, pick up loads of money and then head off in, say, September, October, just in time to go on a nice little Christmas holiday.
You know something?
Yeah, he could probably do the media for the World Cup, couldn't he? He could probably go off and sell himself. But
in all seriousness, Dicko, like, we've 3.5 minutes left. They are in serious financial bother, right?
Yeah.
Now, people were saying if they go down, I seen a thread about it going back a couple of weeks ago. If they went down, it's absolutely Armageddon stuff, right? But if they stay up, I think it's as bad. Because what happens is they're then still under the same jurisdiction, i.e. the Premier League, that have watched them post 260-odd million in losses in the last 3 years. And that will only go up this year. With the fact that, isn't it Usmanov that's involved with them?
Yeah.
He is sanctioned because of the war in the Ukraine. It could get worse and worse and worse for them.
Yeah, I mean, they've got no real sellable assets as well. Like, they haven't, you know, for all the money.
The rumour is Calvert-Lewin is going to Arsenal. That's been more or less.
But that's surely that's a knock, after what he's done on the pitch this season, surely that's a knockdown price. You know what I mean? Like, he's barely played a game this season. His fitness has got to be under massive question. I mean, the other thing that's, for me, like, you know, in a Rio Ferdinand style list about what Everton have got to do, I put number one on top of my list is to write relegation clauses into every player's contract that we sign from now on, because they're not, for all the talk about Everton being too good to go down and all of that, I mean, you know, I think they would have got, like, if this was a straight shootout now going into these last two games between Burnley and Everton, I would fancy Burnley to get out of it. I think it's Leeds that have could have, you know, they've really kind of been the ones. I joked about, you know, Norwich and Watford, but Leeds have really been the one that saved Everton from going into absolute oblivion. You know, that there's, you know, the whole second season factor with Leeds and the Bielsa factor wearing off and them getting a lot of injuries, Bamford not being available, and then Jesse March not really having the minerals. Yeah, not really having what it takes to, you know, to keep them up. That really has been their saviour. And I think Everton fans, if they look at this in the cold light of day, will have Leeds to thank for many years to come, assuming that they you know, they manage to at least scramble to sort of mid-table obscurity over the next few years and manage to stay out of the clutches of the Premier League. By the way, if the Premier League managed to, you know, bring Everton to book over their financial dealings, I mean, does that mean they're finally going to sort of get the finger out on City? Who knows?
No, because Everton are posting massive losses and City aren't. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different situation. Everton are posting loss after loss. I think it's 260 million over the last 3 years, and you're only allowed 100 million. And the talk was, when Everton looked like they were destined to go down, was that they'd done a deal. Before it really got bad for Everton, they'd done a deal with the Premier League not to have sanctions imposed on them this season because they were something to do with the stadium cost being reviewed. But I still think if they stay up, I think they're in huge, huge problems. I really, really do. I think we're up, how many? 4-3 2-1 We done well there. Well done.
We're in showbiz, baby.
Well done.
I love that.
So, just to finish on it, Scouse piece says, Fat Frank will fuck off, the pastures new. If a half-decent side comes in, no money, biggest sponsors are sanctioned. Players want to know, it's a shit show now, it'll implode next year. I can't disagree with all of that, really, to be honest. Phil, we're going to go on to...
Yeah.
We're going to go on to your topic next. Do you want to do winner or loser first?
Don't mind.
I really want you to do winner.
Okay.
Here we go. Hold on 1 second now. And go.
Right. Honestly, because I didn't watch the match live on Saturday, right? So I did. The first thing I saw was everyone's going mad about the game and everything. And all I saw was pictures of the ball. Gav, the ball. The ball.
Right. The ball you've decided that the winner of the weekend is the football. In the FA Cup
football
final.
Football used in the FA Cup final was literally the best thing I've seen in football, I'd say, in at least 5 years.
Don't say more than a week.
5 years.
5 years is a football in the... Why?
Yeah, it was white and it had the V's and it said Mitre on it and it just literally, immediately it made me think of football.
Football, Carson's code. Hold on. Let me slow you for a second, because I think you're losing the run of yourself.
You are
sitting watching a game of football, and a football came on the screen, and it immediately made you think of football. Oh my God. What were you thinking of before when you were watching the game with the ball bouncing around everywhere? What were you thinking of before?
You look at those Nike balls and they just look like cup champions or balloons or whatever it is they're kicking around. They're all funny colours as well. They're yellows and whites and everything.
Yellow for the winter.
Why can you not see a white ball? It's white.
No, it's scientifically proven that you can see ball better in darker situations.
The two best footballs ever invented was the Mitre Ulti match, which is the one they used, which was the V's
Delta was deadly.
The Tango. The Adidas Tango.
The Adidas Tango. We're going to go down now. We're just going to talk about footballs for 10 minutes, aren't we?
It's the quintessential football, the Adidas Tango. But coming back to it, the Mitre Delta that they used at the weekend literally brought me back to football. And I was just there going, if they use this ball every week, I'd definitely pay attention for at least 3 weeks. It's the best thing I've seen. Like, turn on when you look at any of the highlights, right, and see them taking the penalties. Do you know what made it extra special? You see them taking the penalties, you already have to hold the ball, and they go up and they put the ball down on the penalty spot, and straight away, the V's, those white V's. I was just thinking, that's football. That's what football's meant to be all about.
Laszlo says, I'll be back in 10 minutes, 32 seconds. Pat Moynihan says, Tango ball for the 78 and 82 World Cup, best ball ever.
100%. I don't disagree with you there, but this ball, because we haven't seen that type of Mitre ball in so long, right? Because it's always these Nike things that they're knocking about.
How was a Mitre for the FA Cup final? Is that just a...
Because they have to I didn't even.
They must have the deal on the FA Cup.
Yeah, they must have the deal on the FA Cup. Yeah. How did they get away? How did we get away with getting a football in red and grey, like our classic colours, almost home and away? How did we get away with that?
That's I didn't know it's the football, but it's coming back to me now. And like, the red is quite prominent on it, but the grey is kind of
Grey was the name of every FA Cup winner. Right, so it was a light grey that was superimposed onto all the balls. There's only 250 that made, and if you look carefully, James Milner at the end of the game is skying one of those balls into up his jersey. He took the ball and he's on the bus and he has the ball. See, James Milner knows what it's all about. It's not about the winning the cup. It's not about winning finals or anything like that. It's about that ball. That ball was the winner of the weekend. If they put that football, would bring more people, would make more kids want to play football than anything else in the whole world. I wanted to go out and buy a football and play with it. That's how much I was turned on by looking at that ball on the pitch. I was there going, this is the best thing ever, ever, ever.
I used to love, was it the tango that Liverpool always used to use at Anfield, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
In the early 90s. Tango.
Yeah.
I really like that one because we've seen some brilliant goal. Laura Duffy says Deco was wishing he was back in the shed waiting for the aliens to come and get him. I don't know how the fuck we're going to fill another 8 minutes of this. I'm going to be honest with you. Probably a nod to 150 years of the FA Cup, Gav, says Scouser Pete. I used to have, hold on, here we go. Anthony McConville says, I have two mitre balls signed by Steve McManaman, never used, 1996 at the time. From 1996, she has two mitre balls signed and never used by Steve McManaman. How much would you get for them in the open market, would you reckon?
€11.
Each? How between them?
No, for both.
11 quid, including postage. That's cheaper than...
How much do you think those balls will be worth in, say, another 20 years, Phil? The FA Cup ones from the weekend, the 150 balls that were made.
I'd say you get at least 20 quid for them.
Well, Anthony McConville says I collect Liverpool memorabilia. That's good to know. I actually know a fella really that has built a bar out with back, mad Liverpool fan. I'm looking for memorabilia. So, Anthony, if you want to email us or any stuff you don't want that could be used, let us know.
Gav,
yeah.
Put a picture of the ball up there. Go on, just stick a ball up. Put a picture of the ball up for everyone.
You're a fucking prick.
It's the best ball. Look at it. It's amazing. It genuinely is amazing because it's like, honestly, if you can tell me what looks more authentically FA Cup. So, right, everyone's talking about what's wrong with the FA Cup. It's just a nostalgia competition.
That's €16 in Elvries.
That's not the same one they used. That's the replica. It's not the real one. But going back to what I was saying, right? So basically, what makes you feel like the FA Cup is relevant again? It's a ball taken from when the competition was relevant. And that to me was when you look at it, you go, that's like a throwback to an old FA Cup. It's fantastic. It made it relevant in my head. Had they told me at the start of the competition that this was the ball they're going to use in all the games, I might have even paid attention to the FA Cup.
Okay. Yeah? Just give me a second and I'll find this fucking Bobby.
Just put in it's because it was the 150th FA Cup final, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Everton definitely would have boycotted. See,
there's the ball.
They would have boycotted the final if they had to play with that ball.
16 quid. Buy one, get one half price. They're not that fucking good, Phil.
That's not the one they used, Gav. That's not the one they used.
Well,
that's
what is it? Is it just a make-you up one?
It's a replica. Delta replica.
That's a replica. Yeah, it's a replica. It's not real.
Okay.
But look at that. Look at it, though. Look at it. It's immense. That to me is the winner of the week. Show me anything better that happened in football this weekend than that ball.
Time. I think I might, but
go on.
Let me. I'll find something now for you that's better than
surely, Phil. You the highlight was the United Kingdom being robbed on Eurovision.
No, yeah, actually,
you had a breakdown over that, didn't you?
I'm just saying it as it is.
Well, the thing was that was Saturday night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After Liverpool win the FA Cup on Saturday, Dico in the WhatsApp group was giving us updates going, I think we have this, boys, and we were like, what the fuck is this fella talking about?
That's what 7 points does to you. And, an FA Cup win.
And we were like, what's he talking about? And then he's like, the Eurovision, I think we have this. And he was like, oh, hold on, here come the Ukraine. And there was updates. And I was like, I couldn't give two fucks about this fucking Eurovision. And he just kept updating us. And the lads just ended up, nobody else messaging the group. It was just Dicko updating himself in the WhatsApp group for about 2 hours. Right, we've covered
We broke the clock as well.
But we broke the clock because you insisted on that being brought up on the screen.
I know, yeah, but that's great. Okay. It's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we're down to about 4 minutes, so listen, I'm willing to let a slide and say that.
Since everyone loved the football topic so much, going mad, the fact that I've set off the comments and they're going mad that I picked the football as the winner of the week, can I do me loser?
Yeah. Hold on. I get this ready for you. You can do the loser. Just give me one second. So your loser of the week is... this.
Yeah, teams that wear your jerseys for no reason whatsoever. Can somebody tell me why Chelsea wore a yellow kit in the final? Like, when you used to buy Sabutio as a kid, they had a red team and a blue team, right? Traditionally, it's the red team against the blue team. Why did Chelsea wear a fluorescent yellow kit in the final? Like, for that reason alone, I was delighted they lost the penalty shootout. And like, I was trying to think back to all the times you see these pointless away kits being worn for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Is there some sort of reason behind the fact that they wore yellow? Because they wear blue in the cup final against
the league cup.
Is there a contract thing there? If they get the two cup finals, you have to wear one of them if possible. Surely there's something there.
It's absolutely
it must be
pointless.
In the small print of these agreements with Nike, you know. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, they must have been designated as the away team for that final, I would imagine. And then they took that choice.
Yeah, but like, I know you're designated the away team, but Liverpool aren't going to rock up there as a designated away team and put their cream jersey on. They're just not. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It has to be. Look, is there anybody in the chat can tell us why Chelsea decided to wear yellow? Was it a superstition thing? We've been beaten playing in blue against them. We'll wear yellow. Is it a superstitious thing?
Someone's suggesting Tuchel wanted them to play in yellow.
Chris Brack is right here as well. He says, I'll get up here.
When they play City away, they still wear their home kit.
Chelsea wore yellow versus us, but when they play City away, they still wear their home kit. That's right. They went away and played City in blue and City in sky blue.
It is
pure superstition. Suppose the Tuchel said, we win in yellow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like, for that fact alone, should be sacked. And yeah. I'm delighted.
I'm 100% behind the fact that he should be sacked now.
Yeah, like, that's just ridiculous. Like, if your manager is buying into a superstition that you win in yellow kits, we're back to the time. Do you remember when Ferguson was blaming a grey kit that they couldn't see each other in Southampton?
Yeah, where 94-95, wasn't it? 90, yeah. Around that, it was amazing. Like, change the kit at half time, by the way.
Yeah,
which I'm not too sure is actually allowed in football. Where you just turn up and I'm changing my kit. But in that case, why didn't fucking Tuchel just name the under-23s? What are you doing? What are you doing, Thomas? Are we winning yellow? Doesn't matter who's playing. You know what I mean?
Maybe they just, catch them cold. They won't know who they're playing.
Yeah. Sam Tandy says it was just superstition, apparently, because he lost in blue in the League Cup final. Carl Fitzgerald, says commentator on BBC, says it was for luck after previous defeats.
Did they not win a Champions League wearing blue?
But the funny thing is, right? The gas thing is, if they'd have won any of those cup finals in blue, right, and decided just for the crack to wear yellow yesterday, you would hear most Chelsea fans going, "Oh, I hate us when we play in that yellow kit." You know the way we always do it. Oh, that fucking. Do you remember that one? Was it the Toxic Thunder?
Oh, fantastic!
Did we play in that? Do you remember we were away at Bournemouth? And we had 3-1 up and lost 4-3. Carrius had an absolute meltdown. People after game going, I knew we were going to lose. Like, playing that jersey, I just knew we were going to lose. Like, the orange one, I don't think we ever lost in. That was a fantastic jersey. But the amount of people that are literally, like, heads fall off when Liverpool are playing in the away jersey is mental. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, if they'd have won one any time, like, they've won loads of finals in blue. It's not like, do you know what I mean? In that case, you just never wear blue again. But hold on, Chelsea are at home at the weekend, I think, in the league, right? Yeah, against, I don't know, right? Say they're at home to Newcastle. I don't know who they're fucking home to, right? But it'd be like saying, fuck, remember we played Newcastle in 2008 and we were in blue and we lost. Fuck, we're playing in yellow today. Do you know what I mean? They'd never play in blue again. You know what I mean? They've lost loads of league games in blue. So
we're not wearing blue anymore. It's unlucky. It's, what colour are you now? It's like the Newcastle lads saying, well, we'll just dress up as the Saudi Arabian national team.
Well, that's what we are doing, which is absolutely fantastic. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, you can't just say, oh, we're wearing yellow because we've lost some stuff in blue. Like, they've lost loads of stuff in blue. Like, that'd be the case. Chelsea come out tomorrow and go, do you know what Chelsea should do? They should get that. Remember the owner of Cardiff that just came in and went, the blue boards? Nah, tell you what you need to do. You need to wear fucking red. And everyone went, what? And he was like, yeah. So you're in the Cardiff City Stadium, do you remember? And it was all blue everywhere, and all these boys come out on the pitch in red. And he thought it was something to do with it's a really
good look.
It's the most popular colour in fucking wherever he's from. And they'll sell more jerseys over there, and we're like, mate, you're Cardiff. Yeah. No one gives a fuck about you when you're like wherever you're from. It was absolutely fantastic.
Do you remember the one thing is, you ever notice how awkward it is for us when we play anyone that wears red and white stripes, like Sheffield United or Southampton? And
it's a team mad colour. We used to do it away at Arsenal all the time.
It's a team with red and white stripes, random colour shorts, because they all wear random colour shorts.
Did we not wear, like, and I'm talking in the last 2 years, I think it might be in a pre-season game, and we ended up with a top off the away jersey.
And the red shorts.
The shorts off the home jersey and the socks off the tour kit. It was fucking mad. Like, yeah. I think, was it a pre-season friendly? I think it was. I hate that shit anyway. You know, we used to have to play in white socks away at Portsmouth. Do you remember that? We used that the way, because Portsmouth played in blue, white and red. And you're going, why? Oh, well, the ref, you know, if the same colour socks come together, the ref might know who kicked them. Do you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? It doesn't matter what colour. If you like walking down the road and you have black jeans on, another fella's black jeans on, and you kick him, and then the guard goes, oh, fuck, I'm not too sure if you actually kicked him. Why? Do the same colour jeans on? It doesn't make any sense.
That the City game, obviously at the Bernabeu, I mean, again, I don't see why they had to wear their away kit there, but obviously they chose to. It was probably more for contractual reasons. But I seen someone make the comment, no one who wears that away kit deserves to be in a Champions League final. It's the most horrendous away kit out there.
Oh, that's the City one with just Man City written on it. It looks like a pair of pajamas you're buying Dunn's. Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like. A Primark for people now.
That FA Cup final is full of literally some of the maddest stuff ever that's ever happened, right? And it's not just the Chelsea wearing their away kit randomly because Tuchel thinks that blue was unlucky for Chelsea, right? We have the best ball in the world ever. And then have you seen the madness that's been going on today because Liverpool fans booed the national anthem?
Yeah, well, I've had two things about that. Last night we discussed it, and today Simon Jordan made comments about it, and I didn't respond directly to Simon Jordan, I don't have his number, but on the 2 o'clock show today, I ended up going on a mad rant. I've actually put it, it's available for download on our YouTube channel, but I just can't get my head around the fact that people don't understand why Liverpool build our national anthem.
But can I just stop it there for a second, right?
You want to stop the clock?
No, don't stop the clock. Wembley is the home of booing national anthems. The English fans, as a trademark, boo the opposing team's national anthem every time they play an international match. Like, they boo it. So, like, anybody booing a national anthem is fair game as far as I'm concerned in Wembley. That's just what you're meant to do. Like, Liverpool just upholding the tradition of doing a national anthem. Yeah, exactly.
And everyone's getting upset. But anyway, I think Jordan was also getting upset because they were booing Abide By Me as well, wasn't he? I think that came into play as well. Mm. Anything to discredit Liverpool, not just as a football club, obviously, but constantly getting digs in at Liverpool as a, you know, as the sort of from a society point of view.
Alan C says the colour blowing just given a big smackdown by Gav there. What, because of the jeans comment? I don't think you can't be colour blind running around refereeing in the Premier League, can you?
No, absolutely not.
No, I don't think
there used to be. There used to be a requirement, Gav, hang on, there used to be a requirement that a team had to wear a light colour jersey. The reason why the light colour, dark colour exists because with black and white televisions, it was impossible to see if two teams wore two dark colour jerseys, right? But the fact that black and white televisions are now null and void and defunct means that you can wear two dark colour jerseys because the colours are different, right? So, that's literally what it is. But yeah, it's fantastic. It's for a competition that I have absolutely zero interest in and actively dislike, and I'll be honest, the opinion hasn't changed. It's definitely done its best to try and get me back involved in the competition again for everything that went on over the weekend, because that's, forget about even winning it, just the whole thing was mental, and long live mental football games, because that's what, the fact that it's another nil-all draw, first nil-all draw in 150 years in the FA Cup final, and it was one of the most entertaining nil-all draws I've watched since the last Cup final that involved Liverpool and Chelsea, and they didn't score any goals. Did you see that stat that's there, that the current aggregate score in 270 minutes against City is 7-6 to us, right? And the current aggregate score between us and Chelsea is nil-all after 270 minutes. It's like, it's outrageous in terms of what's going on. So
I think they've been brilliant, cup finals, the both of them, in fairness. Let me see. Scouser P says, tell us again, Gav, why they build a national anthem. I don't know if he's winding me up there, or just didn't agree with what I said earlier, but that's okay. Ashley L says, just realised that by the end of this segment, we'll have spent almost half an hour on a ball and a short. So there you go. Yeah, that's how it works. But listen, I've said enough on the bill and stuff. We spoke about it last night, and I kind of went into it a bit more today on the 2 o'clock show. So it is there if you want to watch it. And if you agree or disagree, let us know in the comments under that video. Right, Phil, you've done your duty. We've 1:25 left. Is there anything else you want to say on away kits, Phil? I'll let you go on.
I just hope we don't wear a random away kit in the Champions League final, given that Real Madrid wear white.
No, we won't. But we might do it in the Charity Shield, Phil. You know, will you switch on if we run around in an away kit with a new mitre ball?
What's the Charity Shield?
Yeah. When is it, Gav? I'm getting a panic. It must be in July, is it, the Charity Shield this season?
Doesn't the season start the 8th of August, is it?
Is it the 8th? I thought it
was I think it's the 4th Saturday in August. So, yeah, it could be the last Saturday in July, actually. Yeah. But Liverpool are mid-July or away in the Middle East or Asia.
It's going to have to be the 30th or the 31st of July.
Save the time and we can talk about Arsenal and stuff at the end, and maybe even somebody's going
to go. Okay, quick, we can save 35 seconds here.
We're in showbiz, baby.
Nice one, 35 seconds added to the Arsenal chat in a bit. I like it. So we've done Dicko's loser. We've done Phil's winner and loser. So now we're down to Dicko's winner. Isn't that right? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not so fucking hard, Gav. There's only four of them. I don't know. Why am I getting so fucking woke up about this? Right, Tsimikas. You want to talk about Kostas Tsimikas. This will be popular with the chat. Right, Ray, what do you want to talk to us about? Go.
Oh, well, he was the winner this week. I mean, look, he only comes on for the last 10 minutes in that game. But he's on, what was it, the 7th pen? He steps up. Cool as you like. Obviously, he's already seen one of his teammates miss what would have been the clincher for the FA Cup, and he absolutely slots it. Starts celebrating before it hits the back of the net. Runs straight over to the Chelsea fans with his sort of hands cupped around his ears, absolutely on the wind up. You know, I don't know how he doesn't just do a U-turn and head straight up to the Liverpool fans, but I love the fact that
gets the whole ground in.
I love the way he gives it to the Chelsea fans before they even have a chance to get out the stadium, sort of thing. You know, and it's not. I chose Tsimikas because he's become a little bit of a cult hero, but when you think about what he represents, it actually says an awful lot for how Liverpool operate now, and how Jurgen Klopp operates. You know, he basically spends the chunk of his time on the bench. He's back up to an outstanding left back, potentially the best left back in the league. And he, like many of the players who come on and we ask to do a job at certain times, he just never seems to miss a beat. Had a rough first season. This season, we've got an awful lot more out of him. But he's embraced the culture of what it requires to be part of this Liverpool squad. And I think it's testament to Klopp. And it's important why we have, you know, not just the regular sort of maybe 14 or 15, but this extended squad now of players who are prepared to sit there, wait. And when their moment comes, I mean, you only have to go back to the likes of Adrian when he gets his moments in the sun. You know, this is one of, maybe it's one of a few for Tsimikas, but it was a great moment in the sun for him, and it'll be one that will go down in Liverpool fans' memories. And, he, you know, on top of it all, we get to see how much fun he has in the dressing room afterwards. He's clearly one of the lads. He's, you know, he's completely loved by his teammates. And, yeah, so for me, he was the ultimate winner this weekend.
Was he? Was he, Dicko? And the reason I'll ask you this question, it's great that he scores the winning penalty, but the player I said was the one to watch for the whole season, again, is the one to watch in this game for me. And that's our man between the sticks. He's just a joint.
Kevin joint of said it last night. He was man of the match run.
Just for me, he's just a joint. And he's when we talk about the mentality monsters joint. That clubs, yeah.
A giant.
Joint, like, he's huge.
A giant.
A giant.
Yeah.
Not joint.
Not a joint.
He's a joint.
Yeah, saying that wrong, but anyway, go on. That's funny.
But anyway, he's huge. Yeah. But like, for me, when we're talking about the ultimate winners, to me, like, think about it, lads. Today was the 12-month anniversary of the goal that puts us in this position.
Mm. Yeah.
Today is the day that Alisson scored last season.
I watch it every week. It has to be every week I watch it.
And fundamentally changes the direction of what we are. We aren't in this Champions League final if it wasn't for that goal. So like when we talk about, then his saves at the weekend were phenomenal. When I turn back and watching, just and then the penalty shootout, I thought the first five and the five regulation penalties gone, Jesus, I wish Kelleher was in goal because he seemed to get a bit closer to those penalties in the League Cup final, right? But his balls in the sudden death part is outrageous. It's like he stepped up a level. He went to a new level of goalkeeping for the sudden death, and it just played like within two penalties. That save, I know, Mason Mount. Looks like he's hit a poor penalty, but what's the save back? Because there's one part of it that the awareness is phenomenal. Is when he gets up, he saves the ball and the ball bounces and starts spinning back towards the goal. And if anybody's watched from the television, right, technically if that goes in, it's a goal. There's a famous penalty shootout where the goalkeeper's going off celebrating and the ball spins and heads back across the line and it's in a shootout and it was awarded as a goal. So he to have the awareness to make the save, get up and then catch the ball so the penalty, the movement is dead, right? It's phenomenal. Look, honestly, oh yeah, Tsimikas' penalty is so important to win it. Yeah, it was brilliant that was going on. But he is an absolute, he's the man.
A giant.
A joint, yeah. A joint.
There you go.
I just love the way that Tsimikas grasped his opportunity. He was cool as a cucumber. Massive pressure on him. But this is what we need from our squad. We need players who, you know, might only get very small parts. We've seen it with Divock Origi over time. Mentioned Adrian there before. You know, we need players who can come in and make impacts in key moments, and that's what he did. Alisson, like, it goes without saying, I'd say Alisson's only disappointment about that final was the fact that he didn't end up scoring the winning penalty himself, because yeah. I'd say he would have absolutely loved to have got, he would have loved it to have got down to the 11th penalty like it did in the other final and bury it and go absolutely mental. So, yeah, I mean, Alisson, I mean, he's been there in so many key moments this season. It got said plenty of times, not, you know, after he came in and people seeing him early doors, he's getting us about 10 points a season, I reckon, in the league.
Well, the thing on Alisson is, Kevin Sullivan said this last night, he felt that he was the man of the match. He thought he was absolutely outstanding. And a few people pointed out today, and I noticed during the penalty shootout, every time Chelsea scored or Chelsea took a penalty, Alisson made sure he got hold of the ball.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. It didn't even faze him that he hadn't saved the penalty. He picked the ball up and he went, Chelsea aren't getting near this. None of this holding on to it. You know the way keepers go to the penalty spot with it out and they walk back a few steps and then they drop it and they make the player go and get it and they delay. Alisson didn't. He took the ball, he walked to the edge of the thing and gave it to every single player that come up to say, that's yours, go and do it. There was no delay or, and Klopp was talking about the psychology of it all and having people involved in the psychology, and that was obviously part of it. You know, because when you're going to take penalties, you're always told, don't change your mind. Pick your spot, never change your mind. Yeah. Even if the keeper's standing over that side of the fucking goal, that's where you're putting. A bit like Virgil van Dijk in the League Cup final. But I think a huge part of it, and I only thought about it really when I seen Alisson doing this, is the whole walk up. You want to just walk up, take the ball, put it down, stand back, do your run-up, score. That's what you want. You don't want the goalkeeper getting hold of the ball or walking off around. I think that was huge from Alisson. On Tsimikas, you don't worry about him if he's in the team. And I think we were talking about it last night, and I'd love to know what you both think about it. The fact that there's five subs next year, we said it last night, the fact that there's five subs last year, I think the whole idea of backup goes out the window. I think you have nine subs on the bench next season. You pick five of them to come off whenever you want. And the fact that Tsimikas, yeah, he had a tough season last season due to COVID and injury and stuff like that, but he's back and he hasn't let us down at all. Phil, I come to you first, then Dicko. That could make a huge difference now, couldn't it? Because players will feel even more part of a squad now that they're known that there's five of us, because Klopp will use them. There's no doubt about it. Klopp will use those five subs as much as he can to you know, keep rotating players, even within games.
Listen, we saw him use it in the Champions League, right? We've seen them use it when it was available to do. There's no one at all. But the good thing about Klopp is he just doesn't do things for the sake of doing things, right? He's as much will let momentum go in a game if he thinks it's the right thing to do. He'll only utilise the five subs if he feels it will change the way or the shape or something that he wants to do within the game itself. So it should mean more minutes for lads who are on the bench that aren't getting a look in. But at the same time, he does like a small squad. You can see it, and he likes to keep the team there. But you can see this year, they've definitely used a lot more of the medical science around rotating players in and out. And they've got faith. Remember when he first came in, we knew that he had his five or 13 players or whatever it was, right? And he was a bit nervous to put anybody else in. But this season, he's definitely, you can see he's fully embraced every player he has in that squad and is happy to use every player he has in that squad, regardless what it was. One thing that was sometimes overlooked in terms of the commentary that went on. But again, another fella who was sort of lost on the day because he didn't even make the match day squad, but Minamino. He was a top scorer in the FA Cup.
Yeah, and the League Cup.
And the League Cup. Yeah. And, you know, what he did for us, given that he had very little game time since probably the quarterfinals of the FA Cup this year, has been a credit to him. And he'll probably go in the summer along with Origi, but, you know, he's been definitely, you know, whenever he's played, he's one of those cult heroes where we always hoped he did well for us and he goes on to do something great. There's an awful lot of people talking about the psychologists that they brought in, neuroscience, a crowd called N11, Neuro 11, they're from Germany, and they're working on the, not just penalty kicks, but in general, you know, the art of pressure and managing stuff like that, in terms of where it was going. But listen, we're looking for an edge. He's had to bring back a physio that they lost 3 years ago to try to get the players, to try to have Van Dijk fit, to have Salah fit, and the whole lot. So you can see that Klopp himself, he's a brilliant CEO. He'll bring people in to achieve what he possibly can. And, you know, for that, you talk about the five subs, it's all just part of the function in terms of what that unit is.
He said that using five subs for next season, he's a big fan of it, we know that. But actually, it actually puts to bed the idea that he, or the idea that he will use a smaller squad. He has to use a bigger squad now because he has that ability to bring on five people. Dicko, you know, when you look at next season, and I think the five subs have been huge for us, not in the league, obviously, because we can't use them, but it's actually affected our league games because we've been able to do it in Europe and nearly rest players coming up to league games because we're playing in Europe. You know, when you look at our squad and what he could add to it, do you think it'll just bring the squad even closer together? Because I think it'll make them even feel more like a team. I don't know if that's possible right now, though.
Yeah, I think basically Klopp's already done very well at ensuring that every player in that squad believes that they have a role to play, whether it be to come on and for 30 minutes in games, whether to be come on and take a penalty in a shootout, whatever it is. I think every single player feels like they have a role. And I think, you know, you talk about new signings, but I think the five subs rule is big, you know, for maybe Minamino sticks around, maybe he can get some more minutes next season. It's big for the likes of Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott, who you would think can get
Carvalho
more
coming in
season. Yeah, you've got Carvalho coming in. You know, it's now going to be a case of players getting the minutes more and more. And I'm conscious of it. The clock.
The clock is gone. The clock. Fuck, where are you aiming? There you are.
We're in showbiz, baby.
There you go. There you go. Right. Before we go, I've favourited three comments because I really like them, and we can talk about them just before the end. So let's do a couple of minutes on Arsenal without any clocks or anything like that, right? because Arsenal don't deserve the clocks. What do you think? I think that's fairly fair. Phil, you've been insistent on Arsenal not being able to do it. I was thinking back, though, you know, were Arsenal about 4 or 5 points clear of Spurs, or maybe three clear? With
6 points.
Was
there six points clear at one stage.
I think it was three with two games in hand or something like that.
Games in hand, definitely.
Yeah, there was definitely two games in hand somewhere, but we've spoken all season, not only on this show, but shows all across the channel about how big top four was for Arsenal or Spurs, because Spurs have lost a shitload of money with regards to that stadium and COVID, and really need to get stuff back. I think they're hosting the European Cup final in rugby next year. But they're going to be doing all sorts of stuff, and they have to because of the money they've lost. And Arsenal, you know, I've seen Arsenal fans tonight going, oh, well, the progression of this and the progression of that, bullshit. You've made no progression. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But it was so big for either of them to get into it. How the fuck have Arsenal fucked this up, Phil? Spurs haven't even been great.
Gav, I said this way back when it looked like they were nailed on for top four because Spurs were so inconsistent. And you know, and I said this at the time, I said, all Spurs have to do is get a small bit of a consistency to get to the end of the season and they walk the top four. Now they're going into the last game of the season. A draw gets them into it. And the thing that's missed out of this is that, you know, Spurs have a better manager. You can say what you like. Conte comes in halfway through the season and he just puts them into a better shape. There's a myth around Arteta, and we said it when we played them. He's got galaxy brain. He isn't a good manager. He's a very average manager. He's a Spanish Rodgers, right? And that's doing the disservice to Brendan Rodgers, because Brendan Rodgers at least gets the points total out of the players that he has there.
Stop.
Right?
Stop. Brendan Rodgers in 19-20 took 23 points in 19 games with Leicester, toward in the league, and missed out on top four. He doesn't get the points out of the players he has.
Look at that Leicester side, Gav. Hang on a second. Look at the players you're talking about that play at Leicester there. You'd say any of those players, none of that Leicester side should have been nowhere near top four in terms of the players that he has. So he got them to overperform in the first half of the year, and then they regressed to the mean in the second half of the year when it comes down to it. You look at this Arsenal side, you look at the squad that they have there, and then you look at what's going on around them, and they should have walked that top four place. Should have walked it, right? But Arteta, they were singing his praises for getting rid of Aubameyang and everything like this, and galvanising the team and instilling confidence.
Oh, I think he was right. I think he was right in doing that.
No, but hang on a second. Let me finish this, because this is why they fail and why they fail miserably. They went out and spent £100 billion on an absolutely god awful goalkeeper, right? A fella who is an absolute myth. It's a joke, right? He's an imposter. You may as well have signed Jordan Pickford's twin brother, right? They sold Martinez to Aston Villa, who's a better goalkeeper, than about Leno and Harry Ramsden. They spent all that money on the same goalkeeper who was just the English version. And as we know, because it took us so long to put the right building block in place, right? If you don't have the right goalkeeper.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You'll never achieve anything, and you'll always have this underlying weakness. And all you have to do, if you look at the two goal differences between Spurs and Arsenal, Spurs are plus 24, Arsenal are plus 9, Gav. That's the difference in the team. That's the difference in the levels that are there. And if anything, Spurs underachieved, but Conte got them back to the level that they should be at, because you look at the squads that's there.
When Arsenal played Liverpool on the 16th of March, that was they had 11 games left, including that game. They've won 5 and lost 6 of the last Premier League.
Bottle jobs. Sell it to you. Bad manager. And look, they're going to go nowhere. They're in a free fall. Well,
I think that was their chance this year, because, you know, people are talking about progression, right? I don't know where Arsenal came in the league last year. I'm going to say somewhere around 8.
Right? Somewhere like that, yeah. Because they missed out completely on European football.
Now, at the moment, Arsenal are currently in 50. We'll finish in 5th, right? Progression, yeah, okay. They've made progression from no Europe to Europa League, right? Presuming that they don't win at the weekend and say Spurs lose, and that's what they'll need to happen. But when you look around them, I think this was their chance, Dicko, because Man City are going to get stronger. Liverpool are going to get stronger. Chelsea, despite all this talk about takeovers and stuff like that, if the takeover happens and Chelsea add one player, two players, they will improve themselves. I think this is the season where Tuchel has probably learned an awful lot about players in that squad, i.e. the likes of Lukaku and stuff like that, right? Spurs, massive for them, because they've got in there now and that Champions League money is pouring in, right? Man United, right, are 8 points off Arsenal, and Man United are fucking atrocious and can't get any worse, in my opinion. I think they will get a bounce off Ten Hag, and I think from what you're hearing about Ten Hag, he's starting to kind of clear shop a little bit, and it's going to be his way or no way, and that's probably a good thing for United. And where do Arsenal rocket through these teams, Dicko? I don't think they do. I think this was their chance, and I think the pressure on Arteta now is going to become Wenger levels, I think.
Yeah, the problem they've got is really the top three really seem like they're locked in for many years to come, and it's a bum fight essentially for one place at the moment. Now, I know the plan is to expand that, and in all likelihood, we get 5 teams from the Premier League going through to the Champions League in I don't know if it's next from the season after next or it's another season after that, but that's really their only saviour for me, is the fact that there's a 5th place likely to come.
Fifth automatic place coming in. Is this down to the new Champions League stuff, where it's legacy stuff?
Where it's the performance of the teams from that country in the previous season, I think it is.
So it's not actually something where, you know, Premier League are getting 5 spots.
No, not automatically, but you would assume so.
So before on one legacy that, piece, because the Premier League are so strong.
The fact that, you know, we've got the team in the final again this season, the semi-finalist, you know, we had a semi-finalist in the Europa League. So it's like, it's basically a kind of a coefficient type of scenario. So that will be a massive sort of boost for the likes of Arsenal. The fact that, ironically, the likes of Liverpool and City going far in Europe and Chelsea going far in Europe is going to facilitate a United or a Spurs or an Arsenal getting in through the back door, essentially. But this was their golden opportunity. In fairness to Phil, I think it might have even been the very first winners and losers that I came on. I had Arsenal as my winners, and Phil shot me down in flames. And that was, I think, the one where he stated that if Spurs got their act together in any way, shape or form, that they would be the ones to finish 4th. I mean, you talk about the goal difference, you know, United are a plus 1 goal difference this season. They've been a shit show. West Ham, who I think without the distraction of going all the way in that competition could easily have accumulated enough points to be in that. They just really kind of ran out of steam. The squad wasn't big enough, and they got to a European semi-final. They started to put their eggs in that basket as a very plausible route. You know, they would have only been playing Rangers in a final for a place in the Champions League had they have overcome Eintracht Frankfurt. So for Arsenal, yeah, this really was their golden opportunity. They've made an absolute mess of it. I mean, I heard Alan Smith, you know, when it dawned on him as an ex-Arsenal legend, say, oh, well, you know, Arsenal have probably overachieved by getting in the Europa League. They haven't overachieved at all.
No.
I don't know whether he was factoring in the 0-0 that they got at Anfield when they won the semi-final of that League Cup and forgot they had a second leg to go against us, and they were doing all the celebrating at Anfield. So they absolutely have made an absolute howler here, because the games that they had left completely in their own hands should have been absolutely winnable games, away to Newcastle, a home to Everton, teams that are way below them in the league for a reason. I thought it was interesting tonight. The camera went on Arteta several times. It
was he randomly looking around?
He was. There was four coaches around him, all giving him advice at various points, and none of it seemed to be sinking in with him. He just seemed to be standing
where there's a game going on the pitch, and he's randomly looking up at the top of the stadium. And
he just had no answer to the fact that Newcastle were overrunning them all over the shop. You know, he just wasn't able. He wasn't able to get them in a heart. You know, we've seen Liverpool at points this season not have great first halves. And what does Klopp do at half time? Whether he makes a change on the pitch or some kind of personnel tactical, or he just gives them a rocket up the arse, and we see a response. Arsenal came out in that second half. Okay, it was nil all. They weren't losing the game, but they may as well have been, because they were absolutely awful. Mm. And they basically proceeded to lose the second half 2-0 and blow up their whole opportunity for the Champions League, because, you know, it's a done deal as far as I'm concerned. Spurs not
Gav,
losing.
Gav,
yeah.
Here's the thing, though. And despite it being a horrible sports washing project that's going on in Newcastle, I've no time with it. And I think there was an article by Luke Edwards, and fair play to him for, and because he's the local journalist up there, calling out the fact that kit is just a horrible example of the sports washing being used. And they're not even trying to cover it up. They've looked at Man City and said, we don't need to cover it up. We can do whatever we want. But Eddie Howe has done more at Newcastle since Christmas than Arteta's done in his whole time at Arsenal. Newcastle were in a relegation dogfight, and they're finishing comfortably 12th in the league. And if the league was to go on for another 3 months, I'd say they'd finish in the top seven. Honestly, like, this is what, look what they've gone out and beat Arsenal tonight. They've put up harder games to the top teams than most of the top five outside of Liverpool and City. Like, honestly, this is.
I'll ask you this then.
Yep.
We spoke about Lampard. I think you asked the Dicko. You said, do you think he lasts beyond Christmas? About Lampard. Could the same be asked of Arteta? Because, you know, are they going to back him in the summer? Because he needs it. Okay, because when all said and done, the squad's not big enough and he has to play Europa football now, towards the Sunday, you know how it goes, right? Can you see him last until Christmas? Because I think if he has a rocky Europa League, because what will happen is, if Arsenal aren't great, they'll go, oh, the Europa League, we get into Champions League through that, right? Because that's always the fallback thing for these clubs that shouldn't really be in the Europa. It's the mask of situation, right? Could he last until Christmas, Phil?
Yeah, he will. He'll get another season out, and then he'll get the heave-ho. He'll get the chop at that stage. It'd be easier for them to make a chop when they need to finish fifth, right? It's very hard for them to give him the chop this, because it's perceived progression to finish in fifth, and they should have really got fourth, right? So you can make up a story that this was actually progression from where they were last year, right? But next season, when there's going to be five going into the new Champions League, and they're not one of them, right, they're not one of them, that's when he gets the heave-ho, because that won't be acceptable for the Arsenal board. You don't even have to be top four, you have to be top five. I look, honestly, I'm delighted to be where we are, because the race for those two probably open Champions League spots in terms of fourth and fifth, it's going to be absolute car crash stuff.
You
that's see,
you used, to have, you used to have a top two and you'd have three maybe running for two spots, and now it's like three are nearly there and you've gone to three or four running for one, it's actually bottlenecking itself from, say, third down to seventh, where it used to be four, second, third, fourth and fifth, maybe having a go over the last spot, and everyone else was way back in the distance. But now it's like fourth and second are nearly nailed. Third is close to being nailed if Chelsea turn up for 65% of the season, let's be honest. And then you have three or four clubs looking at one spot, and that's where the bottlenecks. And even if 2024 comes along and you're going, right, Liverpool, City, United and Arsenal are in the top four, right? You're getting that fifth. You're getting that fifth one. And again, it'll actually probably bring more teams into it again, where you're going, well, if it's going down to five places, you're probably looking down to ninth now, where they're all bottlenecking, because that's usually what happens. It'll be interesting. I don't think he lasts. I really don't, because I think
it'll just
a lot
be
of
interesting
money.
How quickly Newcastle can galvanise themselves and spend that cash and get.
Well,
them
they'll
into
do it really quickly. They've done 100 million. They've done 100 million in January and didn't blink.
When we get off here, check out Newcastle United's official post, where they had a picture of Amanda Staveley smiling at the crowd this evening, and they've tagged it. She never gave up hope. Oh, it's the most. I don't know.
What, was she waiting on a fucking bus and a bus turned up? I don't know.
I don't know.
She never gave up hope that Ant and Dec would come back to the stadium.
I don't know.
In other news, Gary Neville has picked Kyle Walker in his team of the year ahead of Trent Alexander-Arnold, which is amazing.
There's one thing we're missing. This Chelsea deal is in doubt now.
Yeah, right? Somebody. Let me see.
Because Abramovich is demanding that he gets his 1.6 billion that he's owed to sign off on any deal. They can't sign off on
this was given to Ukraine.
Thought he was giving that to Ukraine.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, well, this was muted a couple of weeks ago, and then it was like, no, that's not what happened. I don't know. It's like there's an issue, I think, with the distribution of the sale, the funds. But there
he wants the 1.6 billion.
That's what I would think, because if you're frozen an asset and you're selling that asset, there shouldn't be any problem with the distribution of funds. The exchequer in England get it, you know what I mean? Or the UK. If there is a problem, the only other person that could be giving it an issue to the distribution of the funds is Roman Abramovich, saying, you sell the club for 4 billion if you want, but they owe me 1.6 and I want it. You can have the asset, but I want where I'm owed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because an asset and a loan is a completely different thing, am I right? You see, they can freeze his assets, but he can't freeze what he's owed. So if you free up that asset to sell it, it's now free for him to take what he's owed.
He's sending a boat up the Thames, and he wants it in bullion. He doesn't even want it in money. He wants it in gold bullion. Yeah. Load up my yacht.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, where there's just dump trucks driving up past Chelsea. And just look, and fell out in a forklift, just lifting pallets of gear into the back of it. Right, I have three things quickly.
Just come here. Somebody mentioned in the chat that Arsenal would have won tonight had they used the Mitre Delta ball. Correct. Okay. They would have.
Right, here we go. We ready? Fourth one. Rory Fitzgerald asks, a late shout on the footballs. The green indoor football with the weave fabric is a reason in itself to organise a game of indoor football. How do we feel about the indoor hairy footballs, as I would call them?
I could never find a tennis racket big enough to hit it.
Right. But I thought they were excellent.
Nah, you used to get carpet burns off the ball. That mine sliding across the floor.
Yeah, but the thing about those balls were, if they were pumped up too much, they were just ridiculous. But if there was a little bit of air going out of them, a little bit of giving them, fantastic footballs. Dicko, are you partial to a hairy ball?
I wouldn't mind a hairy ball if I could motivate myself to play football again.
Okay. Owen Burke asked this. We get these out of the way before we leave. Phil, would you love the FA Cup if they brought back the old MLS penalty shootouts, i.e. running from the halfway line, 10 seconds to score and you have to round the keeper or whatever like that?
Anything that makes football mad, I'm all for. So if you turn competitions into just mad events, I'm for it. Yeah. So
I always wondered, going back that far in the MLS, was there a fella with a camera just running alongside the player? I really hope there was, oh fuck, this fella's really quick and he's just tearing out the camera trying to fucking keep up with your man,
Esposito,
as he goes past, what was the American goalkeeper's name in the 94 World Cup?
Tony Meola, was it?
Tony Meola, yeah.
With the ponytail.
Yeah. Dicko, would you love them running from the highway line, penalty kicks?
Is that what they used to do?
Yeah, in the MLS, there was a draw. There was no draw. Right, so the MLS, Dicko, right? There was no draws. There was, you couldn't be offside in a certain part of the pitch. Do you remember they split the pitches into three? So yep. you had the halfway line, and then halfway between the halfway line and the goal, there was another line, right? You could be offside beyond that line, but anywhere okay. between, say, the line and the halfway line, no offsides. And then okay. if there was no draws are allowed. So what he done was, he said, right, pick five players. And what happens is the timer comes up 15 seconds and you take off the center circle, right? And you run towards the goal, the keeper. It's a one-on-one with the keeper. You have 15 seconds to score. Have you never seen this?
God. No, I've never. I have to look it up.
You have to watch. I want to throw in a wild card into this. I will watch the FA Cup if they bring that back, right? But I also want the opposing team has to pick the five players who are going to do the 1v1s. So imagine you get United in the final, you get Harry Maguire to do a run from the halfway line.
This is my favourite thing at the minute. Going onto social media is all right. But do you know like the way Facebook, Instagram, they have all these reels? They're called reels. Now, they used to be called stories, I think, but they're called reels. But my favourite ones are just this kind of footage, and then you just hear a fella going, Harry Maguire, right? And he's just kicking the ball out for corners now. And there's one where he's playing for England and he gets the ball and he just boots it out for a corner and then looks at Pickford as if to say, why weren't you standing over there? It's about 25 yards from Pickford. It's fucking brilliant. And then there's another one where he's dribbling around for ages and then just boots it to an Arsenal player, I think it was. It's my favourite stuff at the minute.
I think my vote would be to if we could get the those old style MLS Peno shootouts for the Charity Shield, I think that would be a great addition.
I think they shouldn't play the game. I think they should just go, right, listen, pick your 11 and you all come out on the pitch and you all do a one-on-one, right? And you can shoot towards your end and he can shoot towards his end and we'll leave it at that. My winner of the week is Garmack, is Shawnee, for his comment about what Southgate orders in a restaurant. Of course, Shawnee Lawson feels that yeah. Gareth Southgate orders chips,
cocktail sausages
when he goes to restaurants. Yeah,
and I nearly crashed the car when I listened to that.
And he also feels that someone else was born. He says, I reckon that fella does odd. It's on his socks and boxers draw. So yeah, that was good last night. Let me see this one. Laszlo, last one. Here's my winner of the week. Tony Kroos. Never played a minute for City, but got a statue outside their stadium. Dicko, have you seen this?
This is the Aguero statue, is it?
Yeah, that looks like Tony Kroos.
To celebrate the 10 years. By the way, I read something just on a tangent there. I read something where Rooney's come out today, apparently, and questioned the what was going on there in the last minute. Yeah, he's actually trying to suggest that someone kicked the ball back to City deliberately so that they could go up and get the winning goal, essentially, okay. Which is crazy. He must be getting caught up in this whole conspiracy stuff with the missus.
Yeah. Oh, listen, thank you. I don't even know what's going on there. It just looks like a really drawn-out row outside the Boozer, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's got Netflix six-parter written all over it, hasn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
100%.
It's going to be brilliant. But, I see it. It is. It's just so City, isn't it? I mean, they're
wearing T-shirts last week to commemorate it. You had a good. Every player warming up had number 10 on the back with Aguero. Loads of always on it.
I actually feel disgusted with myself now because I remember like a proper and I know Andy loves an angry celebration, but I remember when they scored that winner to deny United the league. How hard I celebrated that goal, and looking back on it, and I'm 10 years later, I was disgusted.
I remember where I was. I was in a restaurant for my niece's communion, I think it was. And United were winning. And basically, this man that was with us, it's actually my brother's father-in-law. And he was like, United. And he was all this and fucking rubbing his hands and number 19 or number fucking whatever, number 21 or whatever the fuck he was talking about. And he was giving her all that and all. And then I just heard this roar. And I said, well, there was a roar. It's definitely fucking something's happened. And you just see him in his chair and he doesn't know what to be doing. And he gets up from the table and he runs down this restaurant. There's a telly in the corner and there's City celebrating. He's fucking disgusted. I didn't really give a fuck either way. But to see him go from that to that and literally rubbing it in my face, shouting United number 20 and all this, I thought it was great. I just
thought, probably at that point, as opposing fans are like with us nowadays and certainly United fans, I was definitely in the middle of anyone but United at that stage. It was sick. sick to the back teeth of them winning things. And I remember I was in my mum and dad's living room. I jumped up and I just remember catching a glimpse of myself in the mirror and thinking, this is going to end up in a medical emergency. I thought I was going to have a stroke on the spot. You know what I mean? My face was so red. It was just ridiculous.
Phil, have you seen this statue?
No, I did, yeah. I did. I saw. But look, I remember you wear. I don't remember you wear a thing. I was drawing Vs on a white ball. Just to make it into a delta. Talk about playing football and ignore what was going on. Yeah. Look, all those statues that they're making. I remember the Cristiano Ronaldo one where it was
I'm trying to get a hair for you. Hold on now. Hold on.
It was like if some kids drew a picture of him for a competition and your man said, that's exactly how he looks like. I'm going to lash that up. I'm convinced that your man was a Liverpool fan or something, that was the sculptor for the Cristiano Ronaldo thing. It was outrageous.
I'm just going to, hold on, I get this Ronaldo one for you because it was absolutely sensational. Okay. Hold on. But yeah, and I don't know what way they're making it like this. Like it's just weird. Why don't you just do a bronze fucking statue? Do you know what I mean? There's Ronaldo one. The Ronaldo one was absolutely insane, wasn't it?
Look at his teeth.
He's been drinking fucking full fat coke for about 4 years solid.
It's like, do you know what that is? That looks like they've crossed Haaland with Ronaldo's head, right? And just picked a random set of teeth that they found in a dentist's warning room and said, there you go, that's Ronaldo, job done.
It was absolutely fucking mental, that one was. I think that's
one last thing.
Oh, yeah,
just because, yeah. So this week, I've been mostly watching a fascinating sport that's coming in the World Games.
Oh, God,
right?
Come on.
Because I've been doing my research, hopefully, because I'm still waiting to hear if Delta are giving me a free lift over to the World Games.
Orlando, is it? When is it going to be on?
No,
some
it's
of
not
these?
In Orlando. It's in bleeding Birmingham,
it's
Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Sorry, okay.
Yeah, but so I'm looking at the life saving, Gav. Life saving is
what
a sport
is it like? Just life saving in what sort of environment? Like, are they stabbing people and going, listen, save him, or is it like just
what's life saving all about? So, basically, you get in the swimming pool, right? You have one of those things, but you have it the head of a mannequin, right? You have to swim the length of the pool with one arm and back again with the mannequin.
It's a life saving course, it's just Do you remember you used to do it in school? You used to get to do it. Kiara used to sponsor it. Kiara used to sponsor it. Where you done, like, if you done one length, you got a cert, and then it went on to progress where you're thrown in the pool with all your clothes on. You had to save somebody.
Yeah.
Phil, are you sure this is the World Games, or it's just not just someone acting the maggot?
This is the World Games. And I'll tell you why it's genuinely official, because I found during the week they announced that Lionel Richie is playing the closing ceremony. That in itself is a reason to go to the World Games to watch Lionel Richie close off. Yeah.
Lionel Richie.
Life saving. I was a bit disappointed because I'd spent 3 hours on Sunday watching the PBR World Championships, which is the Professional Bull Riding World Championships. That was what I was doing a barbecue. And so then I got into the life saving.
So you were doing a barbecue the weekend. You went, you know what, I go great with this, the World Bull Riding. How does your missus not just, like, I don't know. Just put an end to
you. 7th of July. I mean, surely, you know, our broadcasters have got an empty slot now because the World Cup is in the winter. Surely they could use that 7th of July till the 17th of July to showcase the World Games.
Red Steve asked, did he have to save a brick in their pajamas? That's exactly what the Kiara thing was. But listen, before we go, IP Vanish, I have to mention them because they are a sponsor of this show. VPN service, one button and you're protected on your phone, on your tablet, on your desktop, or on the move or at home. Protect your data, protect your passwords and all that sort of stuff. Check them out, ipvanish.com/ day trippers for your special rate for a year. $3.20 it works out at. So the link is in the description. Go and check that out. Also check out Failicon, our charity partner. And of course, it's up on your screen now. Link is in the description for that. For the charity, so you can learn all about them, or for the donate page where you can donate as well. If you can't donate, send across all your WhatsApp, send across your family, friends, colleagues, wherever it might be, and we will try to get to that 10 grand as quick as we can. Dicko, anything else before we go?
I'm just looking at the sports here. I'm going to try and do some research on.
Okay. Next week, Dicko and fucking Phil will be bringing you special fucking sports that aren't sports.
I'm going to see if I can find any fist ball.
Okay.
Fist ball. And there's also Sambo. I don't know what Sambo is. That's
just eating Sambos.
That's eating Sambos. And then underwater sports. Underwater sports, Gav, you basically have a
swimming. Just swimming.
It is. You attach a fin to your leg and you swim underneath the water to the end of the pool. It's deadly.
Did he have one where it's like half out of the water, half in the water, and like it's just diving? They've literally taken sports, right? And just given it a different name and called it the World Games. It's mad. it's like them turning up and going, football. Do you know what we do? We just call it ball to foot. No one will notice. And we go and have this big tournament. And everyone will come along. What the fuck is going on?
There's another one called floorball, which is...
Passing the ball along the ground.
It looks like hockey with the biggest stick.
Hockey with a ball. Oh,
my God. Stick.
Absolutely mental. We've two people not liking the show, and I have a suspicious feeling or a sneaky feeling that's because the World Games is an absolute sham. But if you're still watching and you haven't hit the like button, do it now. If you hit the dislike button, let us know in the comments afterwards. But this is what I'm saying. All these. Did you not tell me that the basketball is just basketball, but the hoop's a bit closer to the ground?
There's no backboard.
It's fucking mad.
They haven't got chess boxing. I was also watching chess boxing. I sent this to Paddy.
Chess boxing. What's chess boxing?
Basically, two lads get in a boxing ring and start a game of chess.
No way.
And after they do a move.
Come here. Is this sponsored by Bleeding Marijuana.com or what? What's going on?
After they do a move, they take the table away, they have a round of boxing, and then they sit back down.
No, they can't. They can't. Stop it. Right, if anybody wants to check it out, Dicko has gained access to the World Games website. But I'm sure you can go and check it out at worldgames.com. Is it, Dicko? Worldgames.com?
I think so, and it's got a ticket as well on it. So 52 days.
Oh, they're counting down and everything.
5 minutes.
Okay. It's the worldgames.org.
Worldgames.org.
I'll tell you what I'll do. next week, I might screen share the World Games website and we can just have a right look through it for 20 minutes. That's the course of arson. Don't fuck up on me, have to talk about them. That has been Winners and Losers. That's been Dicko, Gav and Phil. Thanks a million for watching. Talk to you soon. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.